As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to the Latin American History Podcast, Episode 68, The Conquest of Peru, Part 7. If last episode was a story of inertia, of an uneasy limbo lasting for 9 months before finally boiling over, today's episode sees much more in the way of action. The Spanish had obviously manoeuvred themselves into a position of power, holding the emperor hostage. They were able to go around sacking various important Inca cities and temples without retribution, but they did not control much land beyond their small settlement on the coast and Cajamarca, where they had based themselves. While killing Atahualpa may have nullified any threat that he posed through his loyalists, real or imagined, it also meant that their control would now face a test. One possible scenario was that the Inca might react with outrage to the murder of their leader. Even if they didn't, the Spanish had now lost their bargaining chip. They had calculated that Atahualpa himself posed the biggest threat, and that their relationship with other factions within the empire was strong enough to survive the loss of their captive. They would play the game of political intrigue, and they believed that they could win. The real test would be the reaction to their decision to play kingmaker and select a new emperor. Being allowed to do so would be a step forward in their consolidation of power, and a sign that they were really in control. They selected one of Atahualpa's many half-brothers, a man named Tupahuaipa, and proclaimed him emperor. They judged him to be easy to control. The ceremony was a hybrid affair. Tupahuaipa was brought out into Cajamarca's square, flanked by Inca nobles. He stood, however, under a Spanish royal banner and was proclaimed both emperor and a subject of the Spanish king. Their power grab seems to have worked. The lords of Cusco did not protest, and they made no moves against the Spanish. Pizarro finally decided to move, and to do some of the colonizing which he had promised the king. They would go to Cusco, so that Tupahuaipa could reside in the traditional seat of power, thus building his legitimacy. The idea was to present him as the victorious emperor, and to present the gold that the Spanish collected as the spoils of his successful campaign against Huascar and his supporters. The Spanish had got away with it because they were using the old divide-and-conquer strategy. Despite both Atahualpa and Huasca now being dead, the divisions which their civil war had created still existed, and the Spanish were doing everything in their power to maintain them. While Huasca may have seemed an irrelevance when they first arrived, now the situation had changed, and his loyalists had recovered. There was a strong north-south divide. The south, and Cusco in particular, was where Huascar's supporters were based. They had their own candidate in mind for emperor, another brother. The north was the stronghold of Atahualpa loyalists, and they argued that his son should take control. It seemed that both would largely settle for Pizarro's choice for now, although presumably they all thought that this was a temporary measure. Not everyone accepted the arrangement, however. Last week, I briefly mentioned one of Atahualpa's generals, Quisquis. It was not the one who Hernando Pizarro went looking for. He was the one in Cusco, who did not stop them looting the city, but who made his contempt known by refusing to meet or engage with the Spanish. We don't know when Quisquis was born, but we do know that he was an experienced soldier, having led troops for Huayna Capac, and then when he died, choosing Atahualpa's side. He became Atahualpa's most important general. As the Spanish made their way slowly south through the mountains and over roads damaged by the civil war, they would hear rumours that Quisquis was planning to attack them. At roughly the halfway point of their march to Cusco, outside the town of Huauja, they spotted some of Quisquis's soldiers, ahead of them marching in the same direction. And this confirmed to them that he was up to something. The orders given to Quisquis's soldiers were to destroy the city. Doing so would deny it to the Spanish, but it would also be a punishment to the population who had supported Huascar during the civil war. The Spanish rushed after them and arrived as the sacking of the city was in progress. They surprised Quisquis's men and drove them out. They did this with the help of the city's population, but they were too late to stop the destruction. Quisquis himself was nowhere to be seen. Two strange things happened in Huauja as the Spanish regrouped there. First, Pizarro decided that this would become his new base, and he declared it the temporary capital of his new viceroyalty. This decision was strange, because to start with, the city was freshly destroyed, and would need much more rebuilding than any of a number of other options. It was also exposed in relatively unknown territory, which would make it hard to defend. He would have to leave some of his men there, who would feel both aggrieved at missing out on future opportunities to plunder, and unsafe in a place that, despite being declared the new capital, for the moment was a remote outpost. Pizarro would, of course, have less troops to defend himself if he needed them. The second unexpected event was that his new emperor, Tupac Huayna, suddenly and quickly became ill. It wasn't long before he was dead. There was a belief that Atahualpa loyalists were somehow responsible for this, but there was no way of proving it. But once again, the debate about who should replace him was reopened. With Tupac Huayna, the Spanish had made a decision, and for better or for worse, he could have been presented, and they could say that the decision had already been made. Whether this all fell apart in the long term was another story. But it had for the most part, and with Quisquis appearing to be a notable exception, stifled potential disagreement. Now they found themselves having to rehash the problem again. And it was more of a problem this time. At Huauja, they had representatives of both factions surrounding them, both sides presenting a candidate. The northern Atahualpa loyalists still wanted his son to be made emperor. The Cusco faction wanted their chosen half-brother. What the Spanish should do was unclear. Perhaps they could placate Quisquis by choosing Atahualpa's son. Perhaps they needed to take a strong line against the northern faction for possibly poisoning Tupac Huayna, which of the two factions appeared stronger. And to be honest, the fact that either were letting them be involved in this and not turning on them was quite strange. So which faction seemed less inclined to do just that? Pizarro spent his time talking to everyone, telling the northern leaders about how he had formed a great friendship with Atahualpa and how sad he was that he'd been betrayed. Whether this convinced anyone is unknown. A plan developed in Pizarro's mind. He would play both sides and give the northern faction enough faith in his intentions to get Atahualpa's son physically under his control. The son was just a child, so he would be easy to control. Doing this would recreate the hostage situation he had engineered with Atahualpa himself, and it should, hopefully, dissuade the northerners from any attack. He could then align himself with the Cusco faction.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The whole group, minus those Spaniards left behind, continued on to Cusco, with the decision unmade. Pizarro hadn't yet implemented his plan. Alongside the Spanish were the lords of both sides, and Pizarro's indigenous allies. On the way, they found that Kiskis's army was doing everything it could to impede their progress. Bridges had been destroyed, as had aqueducts and food stores. Soon they found themselves under attack, as soldiers would ambush them in the mountains before disappearing before they could properly respond. Spanish military success so far had been down to their use of horses, armour and guns. These had created both an initial fear in the Inca that they had fought, and an uncertainty about how to counter them once the fear had subsided. While these attacks on the road to Cusco were not hugely significant, they were successful. Kiskis had worked out how to deal with the Spanish militarily, and what's more, he might be showing the Inca lords who accompanied them that it could be done. It was starting to become obvious that no matter what they did to appease the northern faction, Kiskis would not accept it. He wanted them gone. At the Vilcaconga Pass, a narrow and easily defensible gap in the mountains, Kiskis decided to fight an open battle. He blocked the pass with a section of his army, and the Spanish would have to fight their way through. This was a test, despite being in Peru for so long. Spanish military activity had consisted of raiding up to this point. They had been prepared for battle at Cajamarca, but their ambush worked so successfully that they hadn't really been tested. This time, for the first time, they were up against an army who had initiated the battle, and who had done so in a place of their choosing. An army which had got over their initial fear of the horses and gunfire, and which now had some experience of countering them. Pizarro had sent some of his men ahead, so Kiskis's soldiers were not fighting his main force. To reach their enemy, The Spanish had to ride up a long mountain slope, meaning that they and their horses were already tired when the fighting started. Things looked bad for them, and it looked like they were going to have to retreat. They decided to pretend that this is exactly what they were doing, before, halfway down the slope, turning and surprising the Inca with a charge of their own. This was just enough to provoke a temporary halt to the fighting. Quisquis's soldiers climbed back up the hill and made camp for the night, while the Spanish did the same where they were. All throughout the night, the Inca shouted down threats about how many reinforcements would arrive in the morning. The battle was never resumed, however. In the morning, it was Pizarro who arrived, and the Inca soldiers decided that they would be better off fighting another day. It was not far to Cusco now, where clearly the Spanish would face a battle to dislodge a hostile Quisquis. Pizarro did send some of the nobles of the northern faction ahead to try and convince him to talk, but he probably knew that it was unlikely to have any impact. Soon they were attacked again by small bands of Quisquis's men. Things were changing politically. Although Quisquis appeared to be acting independently, his resistance reflected badly on the northern faction in the eyes of the Spanish. From their point of view, making the northerners feel favoured, and doing so to see off conflict, was pointless if that conflict was already occurring. The uneasy web of politics, which had held everything roughly stable since the death of Tupac Huaypa, was starting to unravel. Pizarro had come to the conclusion that he would be best served by fully aligning himself to Cusco, something he'd been planning to do in the future anyway. The final impetus for this came when, on the approach to the city, one of the royal family came to him with a proposal. Manco Yupanqui was another half-brother of Huascar, Atahualpa, and Tupac Huaypa. During the Civil War, he'd been seen as a threat to Atahualpa, as he had both aligned himself to Huascar and, of course, had just as much of Huayna Capac's blood as Atahualpa did. The Cusco faction had now chosen him as their preferred leader, and with this backing, he went to Pizarro and suggested that both work together to take Cusco from Quisquis. Then they could destroy the influence of the wider northern faction, pronounce him emperor, and maintain the privileged position the Spanish had manoeuvred themselves into. This worked for Pizarro. While the Cusco faction had seemed content enough to let him pull strings and make decisions, this arrangement seemed to give him more security, with a greater degree of confidence that they wouldn't turn on him, for now at least. Together, they would get rid of their common enemy, the most dangerous he had encountered so far, and both sides could always turn on each other later, once their position was stronger. First, however, they had to recapture Cusco itself. Together, they chose a place to camp for the night, ready to attempt to enter the city the next morning. The battle didn't go as planned. As they marched towards the edge of the city, they found nothing. They entered it, and still there was no sign of their enemy. Perhaps they feared an ambush, as they must have seen eerie reversed parallels with Cajamarca. But no, Quisquis was not inside. He had snuck away, having clearly decided that he would be better off fighting elsewhere. The Spanish occupied the royal palaces in the centre of the city. This gave them somewhere to defend should Quisquis appear, or the population reject them, or if the Cusco faction betrayed them. It also lowered the chance of that last possibility, as Manco Yupanqui would not be given the space to plot anything. By being physically in the seat of power, they kept themselves there politically. A ceremony was hastily arranged, and the new emperor was announced. They still faced great danger and uncertainty, but once again, Pizarro had managed to take another big step towards control of Peru.
You've been listening to the Latin American History Podcast, written and recorded by Max Sargent. For more information, visit the website www.maxsergeant.com/thehistoryoflatinamerica. And that's spelt MaxSergeant. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to get in contact at historyoflatinamericapodcast@gmail.com. You can also find the Facebook page by searching for the Latin American History Podcast. The Twitter handle is @historylatinam. And if you've liked the show, you can help out by leaving a review on iTunes. Alternatively, if you visit the website, you'll see that each episode is accompanied by relevant photos. Most of these are my own, taken during my time in Latin America. All these photos and more are available to purchase as prints at my Etsy shop. You can find this at www.etsy.com/maxsergeantphoto. That's spelt www.etsy.com/maxsergeant photo. Thanks for listening.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.